Okay, I want you now to grab your real or imaginary hula hoop. Put it round your waist, give it a twirl, and get your hips and rib cage going to keep it spinning round your middle. Here's the thing though, I loved hula hooping when I was, I don't know, about 9 or 10, and I don't remember learning how to do it. I just could do it round my waist, round one ankle, up my body again, onto the wrist, back round my waist. But maybe a year or so ago, there was a hula hoop somewhere and I grabbed it, sort of recollecting my childhood brilliance with it, and I couldn't do it at all. I had completely lost the ability. Hula hooping, it seems, is not like riding a bike, in my experience anyway. Not so, though, for LaTonya Wigington. A hula hoop or two or maybe even six are all in a day's work for her. She's one of the circus artists performing in a showcase put on by the National Institute of Circus Arts in Melbourne. Hi, LaTonya.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, you've got a hula hoop. You've got several hula hoops with you, actually. Can you help me to learn it again?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, okay, you can give me a lesson in a bit. Now look, there are all sorts of university degrees. You're doing a Bachelor of Circus Arts. What does this entail?
Well, it's a lot of practical hours. Maybe, I think in a year we do 400 practical hours and 20 theoretical. So the practical hours cover all your circus training. They cover dance. We do ballet, hip-hop, contemporary classes. We also do a bunch of performance classes. And then as well as that, in our theory classes, we have small business studies, anatomy, and circus history.
Oh, right. I was going to say theory of circus. Fascinating. Where did your dream to be in the circus come from?
Well, when I was very young, I think 4 or 5, I went with my parents to see one of Cirque du Soleil's first shows that came to Australia, mm-hmm. Salt and Mango. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I've always loved climbing on things, jumping on things, and I tried ballet, I tried gymnastics, but it wasn't for me. And eventually I found circus.
And where did you grow up, first of all?
Well, I grew up in a small town in Queensland called Boona, which is about an hour and a half southwest of Brisbane.
So where did you go for circus classes, if such things existed?
Yeah, so I studied circus with Flipside Circus in Brisbane, which is a youth circus, which was about an hour and a half away from my town, as I said. So I had amazing parents who 3 times a week drove me an hour and a half in, waited 3 hours for me to do my circus class, and then drove me an hour and a half home. Needless to say, they were very happy when I got my license.
What did they think, though, about, you know, your plan, dream to run away to the circus?
Well, I think when I first started, they had no idea that it was going to become my career. They were just happy to support me in a hobby that was creative and active. And I think at first, when I was going to pursue it seriously, my mum definitely wanted me to do something a bit more academic as well. She would have been keen for me to be a physio that travelled with a circus kind of thing. But when I did decide to go overseas and study it, they paid for my tuition, they paid for my flights to get over there. So they always have been very supportive.
Well, that overseas was taking yourself off to Beijing when you were 17 to study acrobatics. Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think quite a few of my circus trainers when I was young, they're all professional performers. And when I said that I wanted to pursue it seriously, they said, you should check out this school in China. It's a great way to go and really up your skill level. And so I went, yeah, that's what I want to do. So I set off very naively, I think, by myself at 17 and arrived at the
Beijing. Best way to do it in a sense, isn't it though?
Yeah. Looking back at it though, I was just so unprepared. You know, I've done a lot of...
In what way?
Just for the sense of like, I just turned up at the airport. I didn't know how to get to my hotel. I was in Beijing. I didn't speak Mandarin at all. I just stepped off the plane and was like, I don't really know what I'm gonna do. And that was at about 8 a.m. And it took me all day to get to my hotel. I took like a shuttle bus and then an illegal taxi. And then I was someone just asking people on the street until I found someone who spoke English who got me on the subway and set me in the right direction. But I think, you know, when I travel now, I do a lot of research and work out how it's going to happen and organize a, a pickup from the airport or something. But yeah, I just had no idea.
So how both good and tough was the training in Beijing?
Well, it was definitely very tough. More mentally tough than physically tough. I think the physicality of it's quite similar to Australia. But mentally, the school is about an hour and a half away from the centre of Beijing, and it's in the middle of an industrial district. So the school is all that there is, really. And there's only about 20 foreign students there at any one time. So when you spend a year there, the group of people you're interacting with is very small. And, you know, for a good time on the weekend, we might go to the local Costco or the local Starbucks. You know, that was kind of
woohoo,
the highlight of a week. So it's very mentally hard to keep yourself there and focused when you didn't actually have anything else going on. But definitely worth it.
Did you end up speaking some Mandarin?
Yeah, I actually speak Mandarin quite well now. So the year at the school, I spent really doing circus, but also trying to get my head around the language. And then I spent another year in Beijing working, and a lot of the work I did, I needed to be speaking Mandarin. And since then, I've really fallen in love with Chinese culture and the language, and it's something I continue to practice to this day.
Amanda Smith with you here in Life Matters, joined by LaTonya Wigington, who's a circus artist who specialises in hula hoops and also trapeze. LaTonya is one of the performers in a showcase that's put on by the graduating students of NICA Institute of Circus Arts, which is based in Melbourne. So after studying in Beijing, why did you need to then go to NICA as well?
Well, I guess the focus in Beijing is on the technical skills of circus basics, which are flexibility, handstands and tumbling. But you don't have much group work. You don't have any of the dance, movement, performance, you know, the addition of artistic concepts to your work. And so that's why I wanted to come to NICA, to take this kind of raw technical skill and turn it into something that was more artistic, more ensemble based, and I guess a bit more sellable in today's contemporary circus market.
So what is it about the hula hoop that attracted you, LaTonya?
They're so fun, and I think they're very stress-free circus apparatus.
Were you a hula hooper when you were a kid?
I definitely was. You know, my school had hula hoops. My dad was a physical education teacher, so he always had hula hoops around the house and stuff. So, yeah, I think that's what I love about it, is that you can just play. It's movement and dance, and, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So what is the key to balancing a hula hoop and keep it spinning? I mean, you know, as I said, it seemed so easy to me as a child, but not so much now.
I would say the biggest tip is that you need to move your body forwards and backwards. People, whenever they try to hula hoop, twist, and that makes the hula hoop fall down.
Right, okay. Yeah. Excellent tip. Thank you very much. All right. As a circus performer, is it essential to find a kind of, you know, specialty skill or a signature act?
It depends what kind of circus you want to work in. So if you want to work in something like Cirque du Soleil or work in cabarets, then you really need one very strong act that you can sell, or probably two very strong acts that you can sell, where people just want to buy that act and put it in their cabaret. But a lot of the circus in Australia is ensemble based, so you still need to have, you know, your one strong act, but they're really looking for diverse performers that can work in a group, that can pick up different skills, that can do a little quirky bit in a transition. So it's about more having like a large repertoire of little bits and pieces.
Now, you've also passed on some of your skills in the UK. You spent time in the UK teaching circus to at-risk youth. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was working in a really small town called Great Yarmouth, which is a pretty strange place.
Yes, Great Yarmouth is not great. It's little.
Yeah, it's quite small and, one of the lowest socioeconomic areas in the UK. And so the program was run by a charity called Sea Change Arts. And pretty much it's just providing a space for young people to go, for them to have regular classes that they can do after school so that they're doing something physical and active. And also, there's a big focus on building things like self-confidence, on building teamwork, on building discipline and all that kind of stuff.
And this is, it's really known as social circus, I guess, in a sort of broad sense, isn't it? How do you see the circus making a difference to the lives of others, in this case, marginalised young people?
Yeah, I think it makes a really big...
I mean, you know, how does juggling help someone who's got no money?
Right. It's definitely a tough one. It's the kind of thing that, you know, probably teaching someone to juggle, it's not going to make them rich. But if there's someone who's been struggling with perhaps they're not doing well in school and they can't get anything done, and everything they do, they feel like they're a failure, but you can teach them to juggle, and suddenly it's like, whoa, this is a cool skill that I've succeeded in that. And you're like, okay, well, if I've learned 3 balls, maybe I'm into this, I can learn 4 balls. And with that confidence of like, hey, I could learn this and I could do this, you can then take that and apply it to a different area of your life.
And what about you? How are you extending your performance and skills to, you know, keep pushing the possibilities of what circus can be?
Yeah, well, in this show that I'm in at the moment, Circosis, the piece I've created was made in collaboration with a beat poet. Her name's Candy Royale from Sydney. And I sent her a piece of writing about an A4 page length about, this is what I want to talk about. This is how I feel about being a woman in modern society. These are my views on feminism, on gender, on sexuality. And then I was like, please make that into a poem. And she turned it into a fantastic poem that I actually recite whilst moving on the trapeze.
Wow, so trapeze, you're not doing hula hoops in this show?
No, I'm actually doing trapeze in this show.
Oh, right.
I do a little bit of hula hoop in between.
And what do you see yourself doing beyond, you know, after you've graduated and got your degree in circus arts?
Well, I'm also studying a degree in a Bachelor of Business at the moment.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You'll be able to be entrepreneurial as a circus artist.
So that's pretty much my plan. I'd like to take my circus skills and that creativity and my business skills and form my own company. And create my own work that really is that interdisciplinary mix of circus and theatre and poetry and visual art to make more kind of immersive works.
Well, all the best with that, LaTonya. The National Institute of Circus Arts Graduating Students Showcase is called Circosis, Left Brain, Right Brain. It's running till this Saturday at the National Circus Centre in Melbourne. Thanks, LaTonya, for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
She's one of the graduating performers. This is Life Matters.